What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you get right with God. Today, we're on episode 54. We're talking about church fellowship, being a member of a church, church attendance, the assembly, the gathering of the saints. We're in a series called Church Detox, where we expose lies and half-truths and lies by omission. And so today we're talking about the lie or the half-truth that one must be in church in order to be acceptable to God. So you've heard that if you are not a part of a church, if you're not currently searching for a church, or you are a member of a church, somehow you're in sin and you're not right with God. And so that's what's being taught, that God is not pleased with you if you are not a member of a church, or if you're not a member of a local church, whether it be in a building or a home or something like that. So we're going to go through scripture and show you how that's not true. And we're going to start with the scripture that they use to support that you have to be in the church. And that's found in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 25. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. But it says, "Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." So you hear that passage being used, and they'll tell you, don't you neglect the meeting of the saints. Don't you stop going to church. If you go to one church and something's wrong with that, find another one. And unfortunately, while this is true, there is other scriptures that, you know, tell you to do otherwise. You have to take in the whole counsel of God. I would say that many people who hold on to this scripture and just say, if I find any brother or sister that don't go to church, I'm going to call them out. And that's kind of legalism, because they're not looking at the whole counsel of God. They're just taking one scripture and say, you must be in church because this scripture said so, and that's the end of it. And they're not looking at the spirit behind the scripture and what's being communicated. All right. So in this passage, is basically explaining that some people were neglecting the fellowship or forsaking the fellowship of the brethren or the meeting of the saints. And this is because they allow Satan to distract them. So he's saying, don't do that. So if you're in a good fellowship where everything is love, good works, and everything is going on, don't forsake that. Don't allow outside forces to have you busy to where you can't fellowship with the saints. And so that's what the scripture is teaching. So what does the Bible really say about assembly of the saints, meeting, you know, and all that gathering and stuff like that? Well, it's definitely important, and we're going to see in scripture why. But first, let's just talk about what is fellowship. That term is often used to communicate the gathering of the saints and or the assembly of the saints, or going to church or congregating and stuff like that. So fellowship just means fellows in a ship. So you have a man in a ship with some other men, and they're rowing the boat toward a Pacific destination, all right? They can't get there if they're going in different directions. If one man has a paddle and he's going in one direction and the other guy's going another, they can't go anywhere. Usually what'll happen is the boat will just spin in circles. So fellowship just means a bunch of people in agreement going in the same destination. They're fellows in a ship, all right? If you've seen some of those old movies where they had the ship, and all the men was, they can only move the boat if they're in unison, if they're in agreement about the direction. So that's what fellowship is, and that's why this term is important to understand. Once you understand that term, you can see whether or not you should be in fellowship with somebody else, because if they're not going in the same direction you're going, then y'all can't be in fellowship. It's not a fellowship. It's a conflict. That's pretty much what that is. It's not a fellowship. So there are people today who are born again, who are in churches, they are in attendance, they are members of churches, and they are in conflict with what they see and hear in the church and how they're treated in the church. And so it would be wise of them to leave. But let's dig into the scripture here. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 25 is what they use. We just read it. I'm going to read it in context. I'm going to read a few patches above it and a few patches after it to show you what is fellowship for. That's the question we're asking. Why are we gathering as saints? Why does the Bible say not to forsake the fellowship of the brethren, or to the meeting, not to neglect the meeting of together? Why does he say that? So we're going to understand what fellowship, what it's for right now. All right. So let me read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22. We're going to read it all the way down to 29. It says, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. That's verse 22. Verse 23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Verse 24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Verse 25. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Verse 26, dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. Verse 27, there is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. Verse 28, anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Verse 29, just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit, who brings God's mercy to us. So in these few passages here, we see in context what's being communicated, why we should be in fellowship, why we need each other. Okay, so it says here, not to neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And then he says, he goes on to say about, dear friends, if we deliberately continue in sin, we don't have, there exists no more sacrifice for this, for the sins. So this is what fellowship is for. It just told us in verse 23, it says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. So that's what fellowship for. It helps us to hold tightly what we believe. Okay. And another thing it does, it motivates you to love and to do good works. It says in verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. So fellowship is designed to do that, to stir that up. And when you with another brother, you can do that. All right. Verse 25, it says, let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So fellowship is also for encouraging one another, and primarily for staying out of sin, because it goes into 26. He says, now, dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There's only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. So a fellowship in Christ Jesus is for the purposes of staying out of sin, motivating us to love one another and to do good works, and hold tight our hope and our faith. Okay, that's what fellowship in God is for. Now, if you don't have that coming from your fellowship, when you go there and nobody's helping you hold on to the hope that you have in Christ Jesus, nobody's motivating you to love and to do good works, if no one's encouraging you to stay out of sin, then that's not a fellowship of God. So I see in scripture here that fellowship is about those main three things: staying out of sin, helping each other hold on to the hope that they have, and motivating each other to love and to do good works. All right. What I find in churches today, and when I was going to church, was people practicing sin. All right. They weren't trying to stay away from it. They weren't encouraging people to get out of it. They were practicing sin, or they were giving excuses for sin. Also, there was no love there. People were backbiting and stabbing one another. People were lying to one another. People were arrogant and looking down on other people. There was mistreatment of people, using people. Everything that love in the Bible is defined as, they were doing the opposite, and nobody's correcting anybody. And this is the environment, but we're told to keep coming to an environment like that. Okay. Now, we all make mistakes against each other. We end up sinning against one another. And there's a process that comes out of that. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18 that we ought to go to the brother, talk to him, and get that squared away. And if they repent, you know, confess their sin and repent, then you can continue the fellowship. If not, then you're going to have to break that fellowship. There's a protocol for that. But in an instance where none of that's being taken place, there's no quote-unquote referee or pastor to help mend two people's broken relationships, when there's doctrines that promote sin, basically, where it implies that it's okay to sin because God is going to let you into heaven anyway, you create an atmosphere where there's a lack of love, there's no good works, or people staying away from sin, and this is what you have, a fellowship that's not really a fellowship. It's a fellowship for the wicked, but it ain't for the righteous, okay? And so what you have is a bunch of goats in there and not a bunch of sheep. The sheep want to follow Jesus. They want to obey him. The goats want to do their own thing. And so you end up being in conflict if you're born again with your church, with their teaching and how they're treating you or how they're treating other people. And so I see in scripture here that a fellowship has to meet those three criteria. It has to help you hold on to your faith, encourage you to stay away from sin. It must be a place that's sin-free, where people are not practicing sin. I'm not saying that you people don't fall into sin, but I'm saying practicing sin. And then it most motivates you to do good works and to love, all right? So those are the main three things, or four things, that must be a part of a godly fellowship in order to call it a fellowship that a saint would be a part of. Now, what we see today, like I said, mainstream churches, that's not going on, because those are goats. Those are not even people of God. Those are sinners practicing sin and having religion and having a good time and coming together and pretending like they're right with God, okay? That's what we see as fellowship, all right? So when they read that scripture to you and say, don't forsake or neglect the meeting of together, read the beginning part of that, a few passages above, and read it after. And you'll see that's what the fellowship is for, okay? It's not just y'all just got to get together. It's for a reason. If that reason isn't happening, then that's not a fellowship. So when you come together, those four things should be present. Love, good works, helping you hold on to your faith, encourage you to hold on to your faith and hold tight to your hope that you have in Christ Jesus. And then the staying away from sin. All right. People ought to be looking to be transformed in Christ Jesus and change and be mature. That's what your church should be about. A church of God, or a fellowship of God, or the assembly of the saints, or the body of Christ, your local fellowship. That's what it should be about. If it's not including those things, that's not a fellowship of God. And I would say if it's lacking in any one of those areas, you're probably not in a good fellowship. That's not a place for you should be, because that's supposed to help you grow. All right. Not harbor sin and just allow you to walk in sin and be comfortable in sin. All right. So that's what I wanted to communicate as far as what fellowship is. Now, who is a brother then? So you already kind of got an understanding of that, but scripture tells us who a brother is, or a sister in Christ is, all right? So now we need to identify who a brother or sister in Christ is. And that's found in Mark chapter 3, verses 31 through 35. It says here, then Jesus' brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them and saying, who is my mother or my brothers? And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. So Jesus is saying that anybody that follows the will of God like you do, they are your brother in Christ. They are your sister in Christ. All right. Not somebody that just go to church that you know, but they don't follow God. They're not obeying his commandments as seen in scripture. They're practicing sin. They have an excuse for sin. All right. They don't love. They're not encouraging you. That's not the brother or sister in Christ. And so when you see that, you can, you know, rebuke that behavior. But if it's something that they seem to be continuing, something that's just common amongst them, then that's somebody you shouldn't fellowship with. All right. And so if your majority of your church is like that, then that's not a place you should be. Okay? This is plain in scripture. God is trying to protect us. So don't believe this lie that you just have to be in a church, even if it's painful. You know, even though you got to sit on the other side of the room because so and so over there hasn't repented of their sins or confessed what they did to you, and or the pastor is preaching something that's not true, but you want to be in a fellowship anyway because your family there, you know, and you're not comfortable with what's being taught, or you know about Deacon so and so mistreating sister so and so, but nothing's been resolved about that, and that's not a place you should be, because nobody's doing the work, the will of God in there, all right? And so these ideas that you just have to stay there anyway, it's just, that's ludicrous. That's what man teaches. That's not what Scripture teaches, all right? Here's what Scripture continues to tell you about false brethren or people who are practicing sin, because they may be brothers, but they might be in sin and practicing it at that point, and they're not repenting. And so it gives us what to do. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. It says, "But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person." So we're not dealing with people on the outside. We're not dealing with the world. But inside the church, he's saying these people right here, he's saying the sexually immoral, the covetous, the idolaters, the revilers, the drunkards, the extortioners. He says to not keep company with them, not even to eat with such people. And he said, this is harsh. You got to do that. And some of you thinking, well, my whole church full of this kind of stuff. Okay, well, you shouldn't be there, you know. And if people followed the Scriptures, a lot of churches would be dismantled, because this is what's going on in there. And everybody's got an excuse for sin, you know. Well, you know, I God knows my heart. And but if you're not coming out of that sin, if you're continuing to practice this is what he's saying. Don't keep company with a brother. So he's a brother. He might be born again, but he's practicing sin. He's still in this. Nobody's changing anything. There's no discussion about this where somebody is saying, okay, I'm wrong, I need to repent of my sins and change. Okay, this ain't a place for you. Like I said, they're either going to get rid of that person or you got to leave. One of the two. And oftentimes the majority of the people have been polluted to the point to where the few righteous have to leave that local fellowship to find something else because of what's going on there. But a good church, we'll see that they get rid of people like that who are practicing sin. And we see that in another passage of Scripture where Paul told them to get rid of some guy who was having sex with his father's wife or something like that. He said, get him out of there. A good pastor will get rid of people who are continuing to practice sin, who just, you know, not going to let up and can continue in a lifestyle. You know, and a good saint will rebuke another brother or sister in Christ. And if they don't, we'll see the saints of God shift away from that person. We'll stop dealing with them because they don't want to repent. And they know their spirit. They can pick up on it and say, you know, so-and-so just don't want to let go of that sin. Okay, we gotta part ways with him because he ain't right. Okay, and we've been taught by pastors that we can't do that, that we just gotta just continue with certain people and just be in a fellowship, because you got to be in a fellowship. That ain't what Scripture's teaching. He's saying to get rid of certain people, to don't keep company with them. So this is what Scripture said. Here's another one. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6. It says, "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us." So they had a doctrine they were preaching. It's the same doctrine today. It's about love, good works, you know, holding on to the confession of your faith, walking in Christ, transformation. If this man or woman in Christ is not doing that, he said to withdraw from them. Don't be dealing with them. Okay, so that's what church is about. Church is about the assembly of the saints for love, good works, holding on to your faith, and staying away from sin, encouraging each other to live righteously and to go forward in Christ. But if you come together with people who don't have that same view, like I said, fellowship is people in a ship and y'all rowing a boat. If they're rowing in a different direction, you can't be in that boat because they're going in a different direction. And if everybody's rowing down this cliff or whatever, they're down this area and you're trying to go up, then you got to get out that boat and row with the people that's rowing in the other direction. Okay, if I can say it like that. All right, let me get another scripture here. Here's another one here. And this is often taken to mean something else, but it applies to the same group of people. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" So I've heard this said. I've told so-called believers in Christ, this is why I'm cutting this off. Because we unequally yoked. This ain't right. They would say that's referred to unbelievers or sinners or people who have not been born again or, you know, people out in the world who have not converted to Christianity. They will say that. There are people who claim to be of Christ who are unbelievers. Why? They don't believe God. They don't believe the book. And it shows by their character and their lifestyle. They don't believe God's going to even punish them for their sins. You know, we just read that if we continue in sin, there's a more sacrifice for us. So willfully, rather. So we can screw up here and there, but to willfully say, "I'm going to do this," like, you know, wait a minute now. God is saying there's a warning in there. So we got people that are willfully because they don't fear God. They don't believe that he's going to judge them. They have a mindset that, you know, "I'm once saved, always saved. My sins are covered by the blood." And somehow, you know, "God's not going to punish me for this." Well, that person does not believe the Bible. They don't believe God. They're an unbeliever. So let them go. You don't fellowship with people like that. And I found even back in the day, I tried to, before really having an understanding of fellowship in this scripture, I would say, "Well, I know we disagree on this and that, but it's okay. We can fellowship anyway." And I found there was always conflict because of that. So I found, like, if they don't agree and believe what I believe, then I can't fellowship with them. And I'm not saying that we have to agree on everything as far as little small petty stuff or stuff like that. But ultimately, just scriptures in general. If the scriptures say this and you say, "I don't believe that is really the case," then we got a problem. And we may not be able to connect. And so he says to avoid certain people like that. So if he's telling you to stay in the church, but then in the church you got people like this, then what are you supposed to do? Well, the whole counsel of God says to not deal with certain people like that. So you may not be in the church because of that. So, you know, to get an understanding of all of this, you may not be in the church all the time. So this idea that you must be in the church all the time, well, what if the church full of sinners? What if the great majority of people in there are not living right? So I'm going to just hang out with those who are living right? Then why are we there? Won't we just leave and just fellowship amongst ourselves then? Okay, you know two other brothers in this whole church that's living right and you can talk to. Won't y'all just stop going there and just have church in your home? And these other stuff that pastors teach, you need to be under a pastor. You need to have, well, if your pastor is not a real pastor, as we exposed in the earlier sermons, then that's not a pastor. You ain't, stay up under Christ. Christ is still your pastor. You're not alone just because you don't have a pastor or a church. You still got Christ. And in the next sermon, we're going to talk about what happens when you don't have a church and what you're supposed to do. Okay? It's called being in the wilderness. And we'll talk about why God allows this to happen and why in some cases, many born-again saints have to go through that process. All right? But this idea that you must create something, you must, you know, and I've done it all. I've started a fellowship only for it to fail because it wasn't God's will. I've forced myself to go to churches that wasn't teaching correct stuff and had to leave because it just got too much. It's like, this is ridiculous. I can't do this. And you keep going to places trying to deal with stuff. And then the more you go, the more you're offended, the more the people strike out at you. And it's like, why is this happening? And I talked to the Lord. I said, he said, "Look, I didn't tell you to go there. But your scripture said I need to be in a church, and I'm a human being. I want to belong. I want to be a part of a fellowship." You know, that's unnatural. That's natural for us. I still desire that to this day. But you cannot be in fellowship with the wicked. All right? It's, there are people who are practicing sin and there are people that are imperfect. We're all imperfect, rather. And we're learning to be perfect in Christ Jesus. But if you're in a situation, in a place where people are not trying to even grow in Christ, and they practice in sin, and they're using religion in their ministries and what they're doing for God, quote unquote, to cover their wickedness and say, well, I'm right with God because I have a ministry. I'm on this team or that team, a praise team. I'm a bishop. I'm a this and that. And somehow that justifies your wickedness. No. Okay. And that's what's happening. So people have an excuse for sin all the time. But these are not places we ought to be. If you're righteous and you want to love the Lord and follow him and obey him. All right. So the main reason why we ought to get out of there, to break fellowship, is to save ourselves. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, evil company corrupts good habits. So the more you fellowship with the wicked and you're a righteous person, the more their wickedness is going to get on you. You're going to find yourself messed up. If they're in sin and they got demons, and the more you fellowship with them and leave the door open, that those entities and those demons and what they're dealing with is going to get into your life. All right. Your good habits that you have built up in Christ Jesus will be messed up and nullified because you keep hanging with them. It's an infection. You got to cut that off. You cut it off from the church as a pastor, or you leave the church as a saint and say, I'm not going to deal with that because I'm not going to be affected by that drama that's going on in that church. I also want to say that as a pastor, your job is to make sure that your environment, your fellowship, along with the rest of your elders, that it be a place of love, that it be a place of good works, that it be a place that encourages people to hold on to their faith and to walk righteously in Christ Jesus. That's what you should be doing. Now, for the saint, if you see that that's not happening, it's not your job to try to change that environment. Well, I've heard people tell me, well, you need to go in there and, you know, and try to be a light. And it's like, no. Mm-mm. The Bible says to get out of her, my people. In the book of Revelation, it mentions another spiritual church, Babylon. It says to get out of her. It says to get out of her, my people. So he's saying, like, this is a place that's wicked. And if it's determined that, you know, the Lord is leading you to leave, just to get out of there, it's not for you to try to change the environment. I've seen people who, they go to their pastor, they go to the leaders and the people in there, and they say, hey, this ain't right, and nothing changes. Rarely anything changes. It's because the leaders are responsible for what's going on there. So I would say you can definitely write a letter or let people know, hey, I'm leaving because this ain't right. And so that way they know, so that they don't call you and talking about, you know, why you left and all this kind of stuff. It should be understood that's why you left. And they'll be offended because they're not leaving and they're a part of this assembly that is what you considered as wicked. So they're going to be offended in some cases and try to mistreat you for that. But that all goes to show you that that's why you leave. It's not for you to change the environment, but to assess what's going on. You can talk to pastor. You can talk to and see if things change. If they don't, get up out of there. All right. And don't worry about being alone. Christ is with you. He'll lead you somewhere else in his time. All right. There are many saints that was pulled away and apart to God. And we'll talk about that in the next sermon. And I don't care if your mama there and everybody there, you need to obey God when he says not to fellowship with certain people. And we just gave you who it was. They call themselves brothers, but they're doing all this stuff here. Revilers, extortioners, adulterers, fornicators. He said these people won't inherit the kingdom of God. And he said don't keep company with such people. Withdraw from certain people. All right? So that is what fellowship is about. And if you don't break it, as hard as it may be, you're going to end up being infiltrated by the wickedness and end up being like them. All right? And you don't want that. So I know it feels like I'm going to be alone. You're not alone. You have the Holy Spirit. There's the internet. There's connection of where you can connect with other saints via online. And then you got God the Father. You got Jesus Christ. And you got angels protecting you. You're covered. Believe God that he has you. And we'll talk about what God is doing in the wilderness next sermon. But the right fellowship is, once again, three things. It's about helping you hold tight your faith, the hope that you've been given. It helps you it motivates you to love each other and motivates you to do good works. It's a place of love, okay? It's a place that encourages you to stay away from sin and to live righteously and to grow in Christ Jesus, all right? That's what a fellowship for Christ is about. If it ain't got none of those things in there, or if it's missing some of those, that's not a fellowship you should be a part of if you want to follow the Lord and be in right standing with him and grow. All right. So that's all I got for you today. Until next time, walk in the Spirit. If you're not born again, read the gospel, accept it, and be blessed. We'll be right back.